Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Job chapter 7. We're going to do some turning this morning. Job chapter 7. I was talking to Brother Jack yesterday, Jimmy Chan, all these guys called, and we talked and fellowship. And Jack put a thought in my head yesterday. I can't get it out of my mind. And look in Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7, he just preached for Samson up there. And Samson called me and said, Dad, we're trying to buy this property next to the church. He said, pray we can buy it. And he's just telling me about it and all that stuff going on. Wanted to tell you this, Mike Payton now is pastoring the church in Louisiana. So Mike Payton is a pastor, but pray for his mom, I think she had a stroke. Is that right? Do you know, Jack? She had a stroke? She had a stroke, so Sister Diane had a stroke, so y'all pray for her. Do you know any more about it than that? Job chapter 7 and verse 19. Job chapter 7, verse 19. It says, How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow my spittle? He says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? That's not the verse I'm looking for. Where is it? That's not it. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3 then. Go to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I wrote the wrong verse down. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3 and verse 7. I started writing these verses this morning, just in Sunday school. I started writing it down. But go to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And I was going to preach on something else, two other things, but I thought, well, I'm going to preach on magnify. I looked up that word magnify. You know what it says? It means, it says to make greater in size, stature, and importance and large. To make it greater than in size, in stature, importance, and enlarge it. And God's able to do that. God's able to do that. He did that with Joshua here. And he says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went out throughout the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And they said, I mean, the people didn't have no warning other than when they seen the ark being picked up. The Ark of the Covenant, y'all have seen that Ark of the Covenant, and I think got a picture of it out there on the board. And the Ark of the Covenant had the two angels, the cherubims, and then they had the Ten Commandments and all that inside. They had the manna, and it was solid gold. And the priest had to carry it, and they had staves that went through it, solid gold. And there was times when you read your Bible, you'll find that the Ark went out by itself with nobody carrying it. That's crazy. I mean, you said, can God do something like that? Oh, God can do something like that. The Bible talks about he sent a fire in between Egypt, the Egyptian army, and the Israelites, and all day, all night, and then a cloud by day, and the Lord did that stuff. But then there's times when you, like I said, you read your Bible, you'll find that the ark just picked up and went by itself. But the priest ended up carrying this thing, and this is that happened in Moses' day. Here Joshua's taken over. Joshua's scared to death. He's getting ready to take over for Moses, and he's the second man, and God's going to use him in a mighty way. I want to see God use everybody, don't you? I was down at those churches, those pastors. I was praying for those guys. I didn't despise them one bit. I was praying God help them and encourage them. I went and tried to encourage them, and they advertised in their paper, King James Bible. I said, amen, we're going there. I went to one church. At the church, they said they was in a warehouse. I went into a warehouse, and that morning we went in there, and the pastor was, you could tell he's kind of down. Only had about 15 people, 20 people. I tried to encourage him, and he got up and told about how when the hurricanes came through, he had 80 people at one time, and then they all left, and he only had 20 people left. And I was trying to encourage him, and I found he went to PCC, and I told him, I went to the other school, the guys on the corner preaching on the street. And usually I get this response. I always get, you know, they back up away from him. This guy didn't back up, and he didn't respond that way. And but anyway, I prayed for them guys, and he told me about the church they built. And I went down and looked at it, and he said, well, we need $125,000 before the building was already done. And I said, well, you need $125,000 for it. He said, we can't use it until we put a parking lot in. And the parking lot has got to be paid. I said, you got to be kidding me. Man. And so then I went to another church Sunday night. I got in there. They had an orchestra, a little orchestra. And I tell you what, I really got encouraged by that. I said, man, we got folks in our church that can play instruments. You ought to get in orchestra, start an orchestra, and play flutes and all that. And my wife said, I like this. This is good. And I was shouting them on, and he was preaching. And it was a good church. I went to another church. We went to different churches and went by and shook the hand of the pastor, told him we're praying for him, and we told him where we're from. But anyway, Joshua is with Moses the whole time. He's a slave. He's down in Egypt. And then Moses looking around like, God, who are you going to use? And Joshua's right there. And then Joshua didn't have that real confidence, but he was willing to do whatever needed to be done. Joshua wasn't looking to take over for Moses. He wasn't looking to take the job. He was just trying to be a blessing. That's all he was trying to do. You know, I found if a man tries to be a blessing and tries to encourage people and just does what God wants him to do and not looking to take over or looking to be somebody or trying to be somebody or trying to get his names in light, God will use him in a mighty way. If a guy is just willing to do whatever needs to be done, if it's clean the toilet, if it's just raking the yard, I want to say thank you, men, for cutting the grass and doing all the things that y'all have done, filling in, covering my spot. I thank you for it. I don't take that lightly. I thank you for all that you've done, all the men in this church, all the women in this church, that you've done that work. Appreciate that. But I would say, but Joshua wasn't that kind of guy that was looking to take over. When I came to pastor here, Brother Paul, if it wasn't for Brother Paul and his brother John, I probably wouldn't have been here, stayed here. I can tell you that right now. If it wasn't for those two guys. Those guys came to me and put their arm around me and told me, he said, look, God called my dad to build a building. He said, God called you to build a church, so build it. That's what they told me. And it encouraged me. And I wasn't looking to be a pastor. I wasn't looking to try to take over. I wasn't looking to try to be somebody. I was just wanting to serve God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're just wanting to serve God, God will do something for you. He'll use you. He'll bless you. If you just want to serve God in any capacity, that you can serve him in, at whatever capacity it is. And Joshua ends up being the second man, ends up taking over. And the Bible says this in Joshua chapter 2 or 3 and verse 2, and it says, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. God says, you're going to have to stay away from it, back up, and stay away from it. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way by which you must go, and ye shall not pass this way hitherto. You know what that's showing you? God's saying, don't you get in a hurry. Don't you get in a hurry and try to pass it up and say, I know where we're going. I know exactly where we're going. And go right by it, and you'll be going the wrong way. And he said, have some space between you, and then you'll know where he's going, and you'll follow him. You know, that's what Christians are supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be following Jesus Christ. I mean, you're supposed to put some man, you say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you're trying to do, whichever way you lead, I'll follow. And that's the responsibility of everybody in this room, is to follow Jesus Christ. We're talking about the word magnify. Magnify. You're supposed to magnify the Lord. You know, over in Psalm 34, it talks about magnifying the Lord. Look at this. And the Bible says this. He said, put a space between you and it. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, look what it says, this day, you ain't got to worry about trying to magnify yourself. You ain't got to worry about trying to put yourself up. Amen. God will do it when he wants to do it. Amen. If God wants to put you up, he'll put you up. Yes. If God wants to put you down, he'll put you down. And what you got to do is say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to serve in any capacity you want me to serve. And just trust God. And most people are not doing that. They either have to have the big, big position, unless they won't do nothing. And I'm telling you something, that's the wrong attitude. Joshua didn't have that attitude. He had an attitude, man, I just want to serve God. Long as God knows I'm here, long as God knows I'm willing, long as God knows I love him, I want to serve him, amen. Amen. That's the attitude that should be in churches, amen. Yeah. Well, Christians' attitude is not who gets the glory, who gets the fame, who gets the pat on the back. It's serving God. Amen. That's the attitude. Yes. And Joshua had that attitude. He just wanted to serve the Lord. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua. Now, I'm not preaching this because I think somebody's trying to take over. I want you all to think that right now. I don't think anybody, I'm not threatened anyway. I trust all the men that God's given us, amen. I trust every one of them. I trust them with my life. Well, maybe not that far, but I trust them. But I trust them, amen. I trust them. But the Lord's given us some good men and good ladies in this church, amen. But Joshua's getting ready to take over. And the Bible says, this day, look what he says, this day will I begin to magnify thee. God says, I'm going to start magnifying you. Now, if God starts magnifying somebody, that means greater in size, stature, importance, enlargement. God starts magnifying Joshua. And Joshua is humbled about it. He's humbled by it. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. You know, that's the right way to do it. That's the right way to act. That's the right way everything should be done, is letting God be the one to move and let God. You know what? Down south, you go all over down south. I asked the pastors, those two guys from PCC. I said to them, I said to one pastor, and I said, you know, there's another guy from PCC over here. And he goes, yeah, I know. And I said, are y'all not enemies, are you? He said, no, we're not. He said, matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going with him, and we're going up to Sarasota, and we're going to protest out in front of the Board of Education because the government's trying to push this same, bathroom gender thing. Yeah, same, you know, if a guy feels like you've been seeing that all over the internet, you know, you say, here's boys, here's girls, and if you go in the bathroom with my daughter, they show you the handicap, and you're going to be in the handicap bathroom. But you got to be insane to have something like that. You know what that is? I mean, the devil is behind the whole thing. I know that, because anything good is bad in the devil's system, and anything bad is good. And the man right now, everything that worked and all that stuff, they're just pushing it, and liberals are trying to push that thing and trying to change everything and trying to make it backwards and go against the Word of God. That's what they're trying to do. And they, as long as we can get rid of the Word of God, we're fine with it. And they're pushing and pushing and pushing. And Christians are what they're doing. We're backing up and letting them do it. You know what I found out? You know what I found out the other day? You know why these Muslims are coming into Europe? You know why they do that? And they're trying to come to America. Obama's opened the door. You say, well, we just want to show hospitality and everything. You know what it is? In Islam, they teach three plans of their salvation or their revival. And what they believe, here we are Christians, man. We're not doing anything. And they believe this. Either you convert or die. Convert or die. If you convert, that's fine. But if you don't, then we'll take you as slaves and make you pay us. And we'll take your house, and you'll have to pay to live in it. We'll take your land, you'll farm it, and then you have to pay us to use it. And that's what they do. And this guy said about my mind went blank. All these Muslims coming into Europe. You know what they do? They believe if they're making the infidels to pay them. So what do you mean? All these Muslims are coming, and Europe now, Germany, England, all of them, they're giving them free housing, free food, free everything, health care, everything. Give them all free. So they figure, hey, we're taking from the infidels, and they're paying us. So Obama's saying, let's bring them in. And what they'll do, they'll give them free housing, free job, no jobs, just free money, free tax-exempt money, and give all that stuff to them. And they look at it as, okay, we can infiltrate and take the country by that way. And that's what they're doing. But anyway, we go back to magnify. The Lord said, I'm going to magnify Joshua. I'm going to magnify you today. And the start and beginning today, going to magnify you in front of the people. And God knows how to magnify somebody when he wants to. God can do it. And you know, the Bible says this in Psalm 34. Go with me too. Psalm 34. Look what it says. I quoted it a minute ago, getting ready to quote it. Psalm 34, talking about magnifying. You know, the Bible says, I know some guys that proposed to their wife this way. And Psalm 34, verse 3, back up verse 1. He says, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof, and I will be glad. Then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's make him bigger in size. Let's put him up high. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. You know why we don't see a lot of people saved in our lives and we don't have any fruit? It's because Jesus Christ is not magnified. We're not putting him up there where he belongs. We need to magnify the Lord. He says, the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Put it up high. Put the Lord. Why? He deserves to be up high. The Lord deserves in your life. He deserves to be magnified. No matter what you're going through, you don't. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you think it happened, you'll magnify the Lord. I'll tell you this. I was telling my wife, I said, you know, if her daddy was reading his Bible and praying and magnifying God, he wouldn't have done what he did. He wouldn't have done it if he was magnifying the Lord. And what happens in our lives, we don't magnify God, we magnify ourselves. And the magnifying glass is on us. And we make ourselves, like Brother Joe was talking about in Sunday school, we make ourselves bigger and more. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. What about I want to do. And what I this and that is all about me. And that's where you have trouble. Whenever trouble comes, you can always find, go back to, it's all about you. Or you're trying to magnify yourself. Or you're trying to put yourself up. And God didn't do it. You're supposed to put him up. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know what this church is here for? Is to magnify Jesus Christ. Amen. To magnify Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Are you magnifying Jesus Christ in your life? Whatever you do on your job, wherever you are, we use the circumstance. The devil, I know the devil meant it for bad. The devil always means things for bad. God will use it for good. There's two detectives I was talking to. I gave my testimony to them and told them how I got saved. Their eyes balled up in tears. And I told them, I said, look, guys, you did your job. And I appreciate it. And I shook their hand. I said, thank you for doing your job. But I'm going to do my job. My job is to tell you that you need to get saved. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You need to get saved. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we start singing them songs, man, we start lifting. Jesus Christ starts getting lifted up. We start putting him up and lifting him up higher. This church ought to be known for lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, people in the area should know, man, we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above all names. Amen. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. It's not going to bow at the name of Jesus. Alan Ryman or anybody else in this room, he's not going to bow for that. He's going to bow at the name of Jesus. Magnify. Put him up high. Put him up high where he belongs. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 1. Look in Luke chapter 1, talking about Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Magnify. Are we magnifying the Lord in our lives? I'm going to tell you something. You magnify the Lord, you won't be depressed. You won't be discouraged. You start magnifying God every day in your life. And look what Mary says. Mary is told that she's going to have a child, and the child's named Jesus. And she's told, and she said, and Mary said, my soul doeth magnify the Lord. I mean, every day you get up and I get up, there ought to be a time in our life that we lift Jesus Christ up high in our lives. I mean, a time of reading your Bible, a time of praying and thanking the Lord for his goodness. They said, I have been blessed. They've been singing that song. And I've seen some of y'all standing up shouting and everything. That's good. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, but you ought to be able to do that on your own. First thing in the morning, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I got to go to work. I got this job to do. I got to do this. But magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I tell you what, that'll help the day go a lot easier and things go a lot. I mean, when the troubles and trials come and when you get the phone calls and all this stuff, I tell you what, when you know that God's in control and he can take care of any problem that you have, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Mary says, I magnify my soul, do it magnify the Lord. She said, my spirit shall rejoice in the God, my Savior. My spirit shall rejoice. There ought to be some rejoicing in your spirit. Ought to be some rejoicing down when you're magnifying the Lord. There should be something down and deep inside that even the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There should be a fruit in your life. And that joy, peace, and love should be there. I mean, in the middle of trials, in the middle of heartaches, in the middle of the sorrow that you have to face, there should be an everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. Magnify the Lord. Oh, lift him up. Lift him up high. You know what? Take your Bible, look at this. Look in Psalm 138. Look in Psalm 138. Look what it says about his word. Psalm 138. You know why it's so important? It's so important to read your Bible. So important to fellowship with the Lord. I think, man, if I could just talk to somebody, if I could just get them reading their Bible, if I could just get them where they get closer to God, they won't be discouraged. I see these guys riding down the road. I went over down there where her daddy lived. I ran into people from New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, especially one guy, hard-looking dude, Philadelphia. I thought about Joe. I thought about your daddy. Boy, he shaved his head bald, and he's got tattoos on him and everything. I'm witnessing to him, and I gave him a chick track. Man, he shook my hand, thanked me, and went away reading it. We was at a restaurant. And down there is just a retirement community. Just a lot of people from up north. And they go down there, and they end up dying. They go down there just to retire and then die. I thought, man, what a terrible life. You say, well, man, you talk to people in the valley, I'm living in Florida. Man, I got married. The beach is not that far. No, they're miserable. They're miserable. You know why? If a man don't have something to do, you don't have something to live for, you're miserable. Some people magnify, you know, other things. But if you don't have something to live for, but look what the Bible says about magnifying the word. Psalms 138, verse 2, or verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Not half of it. He said, before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. He said, what do you mean? Is that a mistranslation, before the gods? The little g? Yeah, before the gods. The world makes all kinds of gods. My father-in-law, he had, and his wife, they had a Saint Christopher in the front yard. So what did you do that? We threw it away. Had a Buddha in the backyard. I was going to bring that back and shoot it. They had a bunch of statues that Maria, his ex-wife, put in there of naked women. We brought all them home. So what did you bring them home for? A bunch of naked women, man. My son-in-law said, walking in this house reminded me of walking into a museum. We brought all them stuff. My wife said, we're getting that junk out of here. And we took it, brought it home. He said, what are you bringing home for? We're going to shoot it. We went by, and when Josh got off the plane, Josh just bought a 50 caliber. He said, what did he buy a 50 caliber for? I don't know. He's stupid. I mean, I don't know why he bought it. And he just wanted something to blow up something. That's what it is, I guess. And that ain't stupid, son. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I like blowing up stuff. You know, I like doing it. It's fun for a guy likes blowing up stuff. And but me and Josh went in there, and they showed us the prototype. Man, that 50 caliber, man, it'll look like it'll blow the top of a car off. That makes me want to buy a tank. But anyway. But he bought this 50 caliber. We seen that thing, and I thought, Josh said, this would be perfect for the statues. But we forgot to bring Buddha home. We're going to blow Buddha's head off. Amen. But Psalm 138, look at verse 2. It says, I will worship towards thy holy temple. And the Jews always did. Whenever the Jews were taken to Babylon and whatever they were taken, that's where the Arabs get it from. The Arabs, they get their little sheet. They said, where do you get that from? They got it from the Jews. They got that from them. And they get their little blanket out there, and they face towards the east, towards Mecca, and they bow and pray. But the Jews did that. They're the ones that started that. They prayed towards the temple when they were taken captive. They were taken away. So they prayed, and that's where Muhammad got it from. Muhammad's just a copycat. That's all he did. He copycat everything. He copycat anything the priests the Jews did. He was just a copycat. And but anyway, he says, I will worship towards thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast what? Look at here. Look what it says. Everybody say it with me. Thou hast what? Magnified thy word above thy name. He says, man, you know, we sing, Jesus, what a wonderful name. And we get praising God, shouting over the name of Jesus Christ. But man, we get excited about the name of Jesus Christ. And when Mary came in and announced that she was announced to Elizabeth that she was there, the Bible says John the Baptist leaped in her womb. And the name Jesus. And man, you can mention the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every name shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And man, I mean at the name of Jesus. Man, that's a powerful name. Boy, what a name. We sing, there's thousands of songs sung about the name of Jesus. But look what the Bible says about his word. The devil knows and he hates God's word. People say, oh, y'all on this, you're on this kick, man. You're on this crazy kick about the King James Bible, the Word of God and all that. Man, it don't matter. They're all the same. No, you don't know what you're talking about. That's the devil speaking through somebody. Because the devil knows, man, he takes away the word, you ain't got nothing. You take away the Word of God. And the Word of God is so important. And that's why it's so hard for you to read it. Every day. Unless you get a routine. You say, man, I'm going to keep on doing it every day. I'm just going to get up at a certain time, read my Bible. If I don't do it then, I'm going to get it there later. I used to take my Bible to work with me. And take it whenever I got a break. Everybody's over there sucking the bottom out of a cigarette and getting cancer. I was over to read my Bible. Take your Bible to work with you. Scare everybody half to death when you walk in there. Something about the Bible, man. You wouldn't believe. I got scripture on the side of the excursion. We're coming up the road. And I don't know how many. Must have been 100 people go by. And these people just stare at me. I've got on the side of that excursion. It says, if you're living like there is no God, you better be right. And people ride by and they look. They go. One woman just stared at me and went. Why? Because she's living like there is no God. That's the way most Americans live. There ain't no God. There ain't no judgment. There ain't nothing. He says, for thy truth thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. If God thought that much of his word, and people said, well, you know, the Bible's been translated, and you know how you tell somebody a secret and it goes around the room, by the time it gets around, it'd be all messed up. But God did kept his word. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, he said, God will preserve his word. And see, if God doesn't preserve it, then he's a liar. God's not a liar.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
He said, magnify thy word above thy own name. If God thought that much of his word, I mean, he thought a lot of Jesus Christ, his name, the name Jesus. I mean, that name Jesus had five letters in it. Five, number of death. When Jesus Christ comes back, his name is going to be Emmanuel. Number eight letters. Why? New beginning. Jesus came to die. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. God magnifies his word. Not only that, God not only magnifies his word, he magnifies his law. Look in Isaiah 42. Look in Isaiah 42, he magnifies his law. You know, I thank God for the law. I really do. You say, oh, preacher, can you thank God for the law? Oh, yeah. I think, why? Because if there wasn't no law, we wouldn't know we were sinners.
Right.
If there wasn't no law, God says he magnified the law. So look at Isaiah 42, verse 21. Look what he says. Isaiah 42:21. And the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. You know what? In the tribulation, the Jews, the law is going to be in again. I mean, the law is in Israel right now. I just read the other day that I don't know if you know what Messianic Jew is, but among the soldiers in Israel, they say at least 5% of the soldiers, somebody's doing a job. Somebody's doing work. Among the Israeli soldiers, right now, active duty, there's 5% of Messianic Christians, Jews, Messianic Jews. So what is a Messianic Jew? A Messianic Jew is somebody who accepted Jesus Christ and looking for their Messiah. In the soldiers. Somebody's doing a job. Somebody's witnessing. Wouldn't it be terrible, man? If all we live for is to magnify ourselves and to magnify what we have and get to heaven, we have nothing. I see these guys, a whole bunch of guys going to this restaurant, all Vietnam veterans, you know. They all grown their hair long, and my brother, you know, growing the beards long, and round and round, I'm Vietnam, I'm mad at the world. That's all they live for. I thought, man, what a waste. That's all you live for? is the right. And to have Vietnam veterans, I'm bad. That's all you live for? Man, magnifying Jesus Christ, his name, magnifying his word. You know what God will do? He'll magnify you. He'll magnify you for serving him. He'll make you somebody. When I was telling them cops I was ex-convict, I told them I was in prison. I told them all that stuff. Man, they were like, really? They started looking to make sure it wasn't a murder case or anything. Paul said this. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 19. Look at Acts chapter 19. Look, or actually, this is what happens in Acts chapter 19. When Jesus Christ was magnified, Acts chapter 19, look at this. God magnifies his law, and I got to hurry. Acts chapter 19, verse 17, look here. He says, this was known, back up verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. These are a bunch of sons and men that went and tried to mess with the devil, and they tried to mess with a man that was had a devil in him. And look what the devil said. Here's what the devil, the evil spirit inside the man, verse 15. Say, is there evil spirits? Is there devils? Yes, there is. I've dealt with a few. And it says, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You know what God did? God magnified Paul. The devils said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? They were trying to be something when they weren't. Bible says if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, God make you something. And I tell them, me and my wife giving our testimony to the sergeant, a police officer across the street, and we was telling, and we told him about our life, and him and his wife listening, and I told him about how to get saved. And me and my wife both said, if it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for him, we'd be in the same mess. We'd be in a mess. But look at Acts 19, look at verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also in Ephesus. And fear fell on all them all. And the name of Jesus Christ was what? I mean, folks, man, when the name of Jesus Christ is magnified, if you read through there, things start happening. Why? Look what happens. In the name of Jesus Christ, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When Jesus Christ is magnified in our lives, in our church, God will start moving in our community. Man, things will start happening. We used to have after our youth camp, we'd come home and we'd all have to get a 55-gallon drums out here because the kids started burning clothes. Yeah. They started burning books. Yeah. They started burning tapes and VCR videos. They started burning all music. They started burning all that stuff. Why? When Jesus Christ is magnified in a person's life, they want anything that doesn't magnify him out. Amen. They want to get it out. I don't want to be around it. Lord, does these clothes please you? And what I'm wearing, are you pleased with it? I want to magnify you. When a person's trying to magnify the Lord rather than themselves. I've always said to girls when they wear the short skirts and the low tops and everything, I say, hey, man, if you're not for sale, don't advertise. If you're not for sale, don't advertise. And a lot of girls advertise. They advertise. They think that's cool. Hey, I heard Doc used to say, he said, man, you tell the girls the only way you come to camp, you got to wear skirts. He said, they'll wear them so tight, they look like scuba divers. Amen. They'll have them skirts so tight, they look like scuba diver outfits. And you go to the mall, that's all you see. I don't know if they got these new flexi skin pants that the girls wear. They walk around in the mall, and they've shown, just skin tight, man. And you walk behind them, you see, you see that stuff, man. You go, God have mercy, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Pardon me, excuse me. I ain't gonna let my granddaughters wear that. If I see, And my daughters, if I see them wearing that stuff, I'll take a belt to them. If they go out in public in that mess, they can wear around your house, wear around the house, but man, be careful where you go. God have mercy. As a matter of fact, you'd probably be better not to wear it at all. Yeah. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 11. Well, it's a new thing, man. It's a new thing. It ain't nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Everything, you know, it's nothing new. If a woman wants to be noticed, she'll wear something to be noticed with. But look at this, Romans chapter 11. We're not preaching just on clothes this morning. We're preaching on everything. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Look at there. He says, look what Paul's saying. He says, I speak to you Gentiles, for as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying, God, what God's given me to do is a high calling. And I'm putting it way up here. God saved me. He called me. How would you like to know that you were going to go before kings? You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be beat. You're going to go through all this stuff. Paul said, I magnify my office. I put that way up there. A lot of times you go through trouble, you want to run. You want everybody to feel sorry for you. Woe is me. Because what I went through. I don't want nobody feeling sorry for it. Why? My Father's in control. Paul said, I magnify my office. God's giving you something to do. Do it. So why I ain't got the big job? Do your little job. Maybe the Lord will promote you. Do your little job. And to me, in God's work, there is nothing little. Little is much when God is in it. He says, Paul said, I magnify my office. Nobody wanted, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to step up and say, hey, Paul, I'll take your job. I'll take it. I ain't got the wherewithal to do Paul's job. Right. Neither do you. Amen. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Paul went through hell, stood for Jesus Christ no matter what.
Amen.
Yeah, so you want to take his job? No, no thanks. I'll do what God's called me to do. I magnify my office. You know what the Bible says? I'm going to close with this. Daniel chapter 8. Take your Bible, Daniel chapter 8. You know what the Antichrist is going to do? And I thought about this. If we do this, we're just like the Antichrist. We're just like the Antichrist. We're supposed to be magnifying Jesus Christ, lifting him up. Look in Daniel chapter 8. Whenever we do this, we're magnifying ourselves. The Bible tells you that man will magnify himself. Daniel chapter 8, look at this, and verse 25. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And you know, we all brag, we all got something. We always want to look good in light of ourselves. We all want to do that. God forgive us for it. We do it. And sometimes I'll be telling stories in here, and I'll tell the story, and I'll tell stuff, and just to let you know what way it was and stuff. But if I start magnifying myself, look out. I got to say it's him.
Amen.
It's him.
Amen.
The Antichrist is going to show up, and the Bible says through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. The Antichrist is going to magnify himself in his heart. And I see people that they are lifted up in themselves. Even preachers. I've seen preachers lifted up in themselves. I've probably been that way at times, lifted up in myself. God doesn't want us to be lifted up in ourselves, magnifying ourselves. He wants us to magnify him. He needs to be there in the forefront. The Bible says when Joshua, God magnified, he said, I'm going to magnify you today. Joshua didn't go, woohoo! Finally, I get my due. I believe when God told Joshua that, he probably went, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, God. When you magnify yourself, you're a target.
Yep.
You're a target. Amen. The Antichrist is going to magnify himself in his own heart. And we got to be humble about it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's using us. Samson was telling me the other day, and he started telling me something. He said, Dad, you always taught us not to say a whole lot about it. He said, I don't want the devil to get in it. And I said, you're right. You're right. Just keep your mouth. Don't say a whole lot. If God blesses you, praise the Lord. Just praise him. Thank him. And just give him the praise. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's the goal of Faith Baptist Church, is to magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Are you magnifying God in your life? If you don't, you'll be depressed, discouraged, beat down, ready to throw in the towel. If you don't magnify his word in your heart, you don't magnify the name of Jesus, you don't magnify those things that are worth magnifying. I had a young man call me last night. He called me up from Texas. He called me up. His name is Sammy Lopez. Sammy said, preacher. I'll never forget, I was down in Texas. And Sammy's wife left him. Had three little beautiful little girls. I was sick. I was down there. I was real sick. I'm up in the balcony, and these little girls came up. Three little girls. Sammy was sitting on the front row. He was numb because his wife left. She was a beautiful woman. Beautiful. She met her old boyfriend on the internet, went to be with him, hooked up a little bit, and then they fell apart, and she'd been with, I don't know how many different guys now. She'd been round and round and round. She'd been tossed around like a football on a football team. And them little girls, innocent little girls, and those little girls came up to me up in the balcony. I was sitting on the balcony by myself. They were crying. And they were saying, how come mommy's doing what she's doing? Then Sammy got backslid, left the church, got out, got drunk. He called me in the middle of the night a couple of times, drunk. Now Sammy calls me now on every once in a while and says, hey, preacher, I'm still going. I'm serving God. And he tells me, I'm just trying to stay right. I'm praying for you. I love you. And those little girls, I said, how's the girls? He said, one's 13 now, one's 14, one's 15. He said, mama don't take them to church. Mama's caught up in herself and her boyfriend. He says, I only get to see them once in a while, but I try to get Bible with them, but they're pushing away from me. I said, you tell them little girls I love them, I'm praying for them. Tell them, Brother Ryman, I was up in the balcony with them. I said, you tell them when I was in the balcony, when I prayed with them. I asked God to use them. I said, you remind them of that. I said, tell them, magnify the Lord. And we got down, those little girls was crying. They were like 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. I prayed with them. My heart was broke for them. But I'm going to tell you something. If you magnify God, if your husband and wife, man, the perfect marriage is when husband, wife, and children are magnifying the Lord together. That's perfect. Perfect. When one's trying to do it and the other one ain't, that's the type of a little bit of hell on earth. But when both of them are doing it, that's a little bit of heaven on earth. My wife, I thank God. My wife and I have been married 40-some years. We try to magnify God together. We always want to try to put him together and try to do that with our children. Now we're trying to do that with our grandchildren. To me, that's perfect. Our lives are not perfect. I didn't say that. But when a person's trying to do that and magnify God together, and you can overlook some stuff in your life because you're going to find stuff that you're not going to like in each other's lives, especially after you've been together 40-some years. But you put God together, that marriage, to me, is perfect. You think about getting married, you're married, you've been married, magnify the Lord. If your spouse is not doing right, they're not living right, pray God get a hold of them. Don't you quit. You fast and pray if you have to. You pray and you seek the Lord. And don't go around saying, woe is me. I deserve better. I did. That's just magnifying you. Put God first. And he'll take care of it. Amen. Father, thank you again today, God, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, God, for loving us. I pray you save that soul today nearest hell. My Father, I pray, God, thank you for these young ladies got saved. I pray, God, for others that we see more people saved. Help us, Lord, to magnify together you and lift you up and magnify your word. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. That little word I start looking at, magnifying. Oh, God, help us to magnify you in our lives, in every aspect of our life, at home, on the job, in the car, everything. God, protect us. Be with my brothers and sisters here today, God. Love them, and I pray protect them and help them, Lord God, desire, and not only desire, but to fulfill. Help them to work to fulfill that desire. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.